Good morning, Newville. I'll be reading the scripture that's on the back of the devotional. And the quote inside, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." Matthew 20, 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers on one denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. To those men, he said, 'You also go to my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right.' So off they went. About noon and at 3, he went out again and did the same thing. Then about 5, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' 'Because no one hired us,' they said to him. 'You also go to my vineyard,' he told them. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foremen, 'Call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first.' When those who were hired about 5 came, they each received one denarius. So when the first ones came, they assumed they would get more, but they also received a denarius each. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner, 'These last men put in 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who bore the burden of the day and the burning heat.' He replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on a denarius? Take what's yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my business? Are you jealous because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first last.'" May God bless that reading.
In the early years of my practice, I had a policeman as a patient. He was trained to be a policeman, and he loved his work. And he got into a kerfuffle in a bar in Mansfield and severely injured his wrist, his right wrist. He had a dislocation, a strain / sprain of the wrist. And the wrist is there's 8 little bones in the wrist, very complicated joint. And if you injure your wrist like he did, it sometimes is never competent again, never really comes back fully. And for his case, even though he went through treatment and rehabilitation, so forth, he wasn't able to use that right wrist, and he was right-handed. And I remember he was lamenting to me that he said, I can do other things, but I can never be a policeman again. And that was really depressing to him, because that's what he was meant to be. That's what he was trained to be. You've all been trained, and you are meant to be only one thing. And the question that we are faced with is, how do I enter the kingdom of God? What do I have to do? And have you done it? And further, what's the purpose? Here's what you were made for. What is the purpose of entering God's kingdom? What do you think it is? If someone would ask you that question, what would you say? I asked a group, a large church, this years ago when I went to speak at a large church, and I asked that simple question. I said, what is the purpose of your faith? And it was crickets. Is the purpose of your faith, do you think, so that you go to heaven when you die? That's how I was taught, until the Lord stripped that away from me one day. What do you think the purpose of your faith is? You just heard Teresa read that scripture. There's a really big hint in there.
Glorify God.
Very good, Nate. Good, Ellen. Anything short of that is the world's lie of what it means to be human. And we got to watch this. I'm being your sentinel today. What do you have to do to get in the kingdom? And have you done it? And then what's the purpose of being in the kingdom? Short answer. How do you get in the kingdom? Submit to God's call. Short answer. Von Hugel, a German philosopher, no, theologian, and he wrote a book published in 1904 called The Philosophy of Religion. I'm sure you've read that, Ben. And in that book, Von Hugel says, very succinctly and simply, he says, every human on the planet, regardless where you are, what you are, receives what he calls the divine call. And Paul backs that up, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 1. He said, everybody is without excuse, because what can be known about God is evident through what he has made. For instance, his divine attributes and his eternal power. Von Hugel says the same thing. He said, see, you've all received the divine call. Now, maybe you haven't received it yet. And this parable today leaves room for that. But you will. And then Von Hugel says, and how you answer that call has abiding, what he calls abiding consequences. Well, that's a euphemism, isn't it? You bet it does. Abiding consequences. And here's the thing. You submit, how do you get in the kingdom? And have you done it? You submit when he calls, A. B, you can't submit until he calls. You see that? You get in the kingdom by submitting when he calls, but you can't submit until he calls. And further, you have nothing to do with when he calls you, and to our point today, when he calls others. You have nothing to do with that. Got it? Has he called you? Maybe not. Maybe not yet. But he will. Because Peter had just overheard this exchange between Jesus and this well-off young man. And Peter looks askance at this young man. Maybe you look askance at people. Sometimes I do. What's that mean? That means Peter's thinking, well, he looks askance at this person because he heard Jesus call him. He heard this man get the divine call. And he also Peter did not see him submit to Peter's satisfaction. Now, note well what I just said. Peter wasn't satisfied because he didn't see this young man respond and react the way Peter thought that he should. Now, Teresa helped me with this also this morning, right here in the sanctuary. She helped me. Because we had an experience this week, and she said, you know, you don't know what you said. You don't know how that's going to affect people. You don't know, but you give the word, and then they are responsible to submit. But you don't have to see it. That's freeing, isn't it? But Peter, with more than a hint of spiritual pride, after he overhears this, he says to Jesus, well, Jesus, when you called me, when you called us, James and John and Andrew and myself, we submitted immediately. Remember, Jesus? We put the nets down. And we came right now. We submitted immediately. A hint, more than a hint of spiritual pride. We've got to watch this. That's a deadly sin. This parable tells us why. And Jesus answers him kindly at first. And he says, well, Peter, discipleship, note well this next sentence. Discipleship born out of devotion to me will be rewarded. Richly, lavishly rewarded. And then he gives Peter a warning with this parable. But discipleship born out of spiritual pride is going to be judged. Is deadly. Well, I submitted. What's the matter with you? I'm in the kingdom. Why aren't you? Must be something special about me, Peter's thinking, because I left immediately and submitted immediately. And then Jesus, between the lines, when you read scripture, remember, read between the lines. Jesus, in essence, says to Peter, and this helped me yesterday, or the other day, honey, Teresa. Jesus says to Peter, you don't know the end of the story. See, if you're like me, and I always think if you're like me, you're normal. If you're like me, you think you want to see results. Yeah, I'm so goal-oriented to my detriment. I want to see results. And Jesus says to Peter, you don't know the end of the story. I have to remember that. I don't know the end of the story about what I said the other day to a group of people. And I can get hung up on that. And he says, the interplay between that well-off young man and God isn't over yet, Peter. It's not over. Give it time to percolate. How did you do with the call? Were you, Peter, did you drop your net and go right away? Or did it percolate? It percolated for Moses how long? Who knows? Come on. Come on. How long did Moses' call percolate? 40 years before he was ready. I'm thinking of Tim Davis. Teresa says, he says, you had a late in life call. It's true. 50 years old. I didn't submit up to that time for one simple reason. Do you know why? Hadn't been called. Someone could have looked at my life up to that point and said, like Peter said to Jesus, well, he didn't submit. So he tells this parable to explain and shape our attitudes and to confront spiritual pride and to say how the kingdom works. The kingdom of heaven is multifaceted and it involves man and God. God doing his part and man doing his part. You see it in front of you there? Matthew 20, 1 through 16. If you want to practice spiritual discipline during the week, not a bad idea to take the devotional that we go over and just do that. The kingdom of heaven is like the following scenario. The entire scenario. It's like a landowner who does something. Here's God. I love the painting, Michelangelo's painting. God reaching down. God's hand is active. Man's hand, you know that painting? It's just like this. Passive. Passive. God is doing all of it. So here's the landowner. Here's the kingdom of heaven. It's a landowner who goes out searching. calling. That's God. Well, that's not all the kingdom. It continues. That's number one. It's a landowner who calls. Maybe when you're on your sheet, you know, I put a little one and I circled it above a landowner. This is helpful for me. Helps me understand Scripture. That's the first thing, the first part of the kingdom. He goes out early in the morning, and then number two, the kingdom is the purpose of his call, and note well the word workers. I ask you the purpose of your faith. The kingdom is like a landowner who calls, number one. Number two, what's he going out to call? Workers. Number two, part of the kingdom. That's humanity. What's he calling for? His purpose. His purpose. What's his purpose? Number three, circle. His vineyard. You got the landowner, and his part is to go out and call. He's going to come out and call you. Maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't. If you haven't submitted, and if you haven't been called, it's coming. But if he does come out and he calls you, your job is to submit. And if he does come out and call you, your job is to do his purpose. You're a worker, and you're a worker in his vineyard. Okay? After agreeing with the workers on the reward, one denarius for the day, fourth part of the kingdom, he sent them into his vineyard. There's the four parts of the kingdom of God. There's the scenario. You are involved in this scenario. I'm your sentinel today. I'm passing on what I heard. God goes out and calls. He calls workers for his purpose. He sends them into his vineyard, and they go there to take care of it. And God took the man that he made, Genesis chapter 2, and he placed him in the garden. What for, Nathan?
Work it and it.
That's right. Exactly. To work it and watch over it. What were you made for? What is genuine humanity? You're his worker. Work is good. We're made to work. Work makes you feel good. I get people sometime who have been injured or they have a sickness, and it idles them. They're no longer able to be workers, productive. Couple of things I notice about that. Something happens to them psychologically, and I think spiritually. And number two, the longer they're idle, there are some stats on this, and I think Teresa knows these stats. I think that if you have been idled or injured and you're off work for, I think, 6 months to a year, it's like 0% chance you're going back. Never return. The longer you are idle in God's vineyard, chance of you going back, slim. And after a while, these people that I see, they don't even want to go back. Not everybody. Now, some people, of course, injured and idle because of sickness, out of their control. And they can't go back. But there are some that I see that could go back. They won't. You see, that's the world's lie. That we were made for something else. And that you can find your... We heard about Bobby's friend overdosing. This is... again, Teresa, I'm going to just quote you over and over. Teresa deals with this sort of thing, and she says it is epidemic. What is that person looking for? The one that overdosed. What's he looking for, really? Come on. He's looking for genuine humanity, isn't he? He's looking for a purpose. And the enemy's lie is to get us to believe that there is purpose found in any other thing besides being a worker in God's vineyard, and there isn't. See, that's where he's been hammering me lately. The enemy's been hammering me with this lately. I'm paying for it. Well, you know, if he can get you distracted, if the enemy can get you distracted, they can get you to leave the vineyard, even for a day. So note well, the purpose of your faith, I want you to note well this very first, what is it? First two verses. The landowner calls and sends. The landowner goes out, calls, and he sends for a specific purpose, his vineyard. Note well the response of the workers. There's only one response. They go to work. How do you get in the kingdom? See, the vineyard is God's kingdom, right? The vineyard is the end game here. You submit to the call, and you do what the only response is that is acceptable to this landowner. The only response that is acceptable is that they go and they work in the vineyard, his purpose. Your faith is not under your purview, and it is not for your purpose. Your faith is not so that you go to heaven when you die. Although you will. Your faith is about getting into his vineyard. And you'll find out when you do that, you will experience humanity on a different level. You've been there, right? How do you feel after you've been in the vineyard? How do you feel? Tired? Yes. How do you feel after you sit around all day doing nothing? How do you feel? We were made for this purpose, work. There's no reason to be idle. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you. And God is doing two things. He's enabling you both with the will to do it and the power to act for his good purpose. This is where the enemy gets in. This is where the enemy comes in. And he tries to get me focused in on any other purpose that will fulfill my meaning in life besides going into the vineyard and working. And it's so easy for him to do that. Verse 3. He goes out again. Landowner goes out. He goes out at 9. He saw, you see others there? You see the word others? You know what that is? That's workers. Right in there, workers. You're workers. There's no other way to define humanity. You're workers for God. Period. When it says he saw others, what he means is he saw other workers. Well, they're still workers. Well, they're not working, but they're still designated as workers. Whether you like it or not, you're a worker. Now, are you doing it is another matter. How sad to be designated a worker and what are these guys doing? Standing around in the marketplace, look at that, doing nothing. Doing nothing. And he calls them. you go into my vineyard also. Well, he's calling them at 9. He already called the other ones way early, but now he's going out at 9, he's calling again, and he sees these workers that aren't really being what they should be. You go out, and I'll pay you, and they say, okay, they go. About noon, and about 3, the landowner noticed, and I circled everywhere, he went out. God initiates. These workers are standing around idle. God initiates. He's going to initiate in your life. You see, my experience this week, God initiated some things there at this activity. God initiated. And what the enemy does, tries to grab that away as quickly as he can, tries to take that initiation and take it away. Ah, don't listen to that. Says the same thing. Then at about 5 p.m., the day's about over. But he's still going out. And he found others. What are they doing? Standing around. What are you doing? Where would you be here? I challenged you a couple weeks ago. Put the God factor into one person's life this week. One person. That's his vineyard. You putting the God factor into someone's life this week is how the landowner is going out, isn't it? We always want God to be some kind of a supernatural, invisible force that just zaps people, comes at people, and makes things happen. And all the while, this parable says it's the workers who go into the vineyard and make things happen. Remember Matthew chapter 9? Jesus looks out at the crowd. What are they? What are they, Teresa?
Harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
I saw that this week. Harassed and helpless. Mangled and cast down is another way to say it. Because they don't know their purpose. And Jesus says to his disciples, boy, the harvest is great. Again, the agrarian metaphor here. And he says, you pray to the God of the harvest that what? That these people get straight? You know what he asks his disciples to pray for? What's he asking to pray for?
I pray for workers to be sent into the field.
He says, you disciples pray that God will send workers out into this field. You're the workers. Stop waiting for God to act. He wants to act, and he needs you to submit to the call to act. When you pray, you become a worker. Praying. Gina asked for prayer for a couple of her co-workers, Lamont and
Marlene.
Bless Gina's heart, she put the God factor in their path. And our job then, when we pray for those people, we are workers in the vineyard. I've had it with this passive Christianity. Maybe you can tell. I've had it. Boy, the time is urgent. I'm telling you, the enemy's lie is just so attractive. And it lulls you into complacency. Instead of death is real dangerous and potent and it's our great enemy. Well, death isn't so bad. Death is all right. Standing here, doing nothing, and he says, well, here, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? And they give a great answer. He's talking to Peter here. Because we haven't been called. Oh, well, okay, here's your call. You also go to my vineyard. And they go. They're called at 5 p.m. What were we made for as human beings? What three things were we made for as human beings? Come on, Genesis 1, what three things?
Worship.
Worship.
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Stewardship.
Stewardship. Period. End. Period. Worship, relationships, stewardship. That sums to equal genuine humanity. Are you experiencing genuine humanity? There's days when I don't. The workers, get this, the workers need the vineyard. The vineyard needs the workers. And it is the call of the landowner that puts them together. That is activation of the kingdom. So evening comes around. The landowner says, bring them all in. I'm going to pay them. This is the end of the world scenario. Okay? Judgment Day. You know what Judgment Day is going to be a day of? Surprises. Oh, yeah. Here's the surprise. He calls in, call the ones, pay the ones that I called at 5 p.m. Bring them up, pay them. Give them, he gives them a denarius. Call the ones at 3 and bring them up. The ones at 12, the ones at 9. And then the ones, early morning ones that were hired and were out there in the heat of the day, they're standing back there watching the whole thing. Look what they say. So when the first ones, verse 10, so when the first ones came, here's Teresa, watch your assumptions. Circle that. They assumed. Watch your assumptions. You've been in Teresa's class, you hear that. They would get more. Well, certainly. I'm going to get more. I've been in the vineyard all day. I've been a Christian worker all day. I submitted to the call early on in my life. I dropped the net right away and went. Oh, certainly. Well, I'm going to get more. Is there a hint of spiritual pride there? They received the same pay as the ones who called at 5? And they've been out there all day? The prodigal son, the elder brother. I've been slaving for you, the elder brother says, my whole life. And this ne'er-do-well younger brother of mine comes back here and you give him the robe and the ring and you give him the feast? Careful, Peter. You don't know the end of the story. God, here's the crux of the parable. This is interesting to me. God calls and works through you at exactly the right moment when your life's experiences summate to meet his purpose for you in his kingdom. Repeat that back. Okay, I'll say it again. God calls and works through you at exactly the right moment when your life's experiences have coalesced, summated, have come together to make you exactly what he needs for his purpose in his vineyard. Might be 5 p.m. for you. It might be early in the morning for you, but it has nothing to do with you. It is all him. It's not about the work that you do or when you do it. It is about God who chooses to use and enable men and women for his purposes when he thinks they're ready. Is that not beautiful and powerful? Can we ever look askance at anybody based on this parable? And here's the great thing. Here's the great thing. You talk about rewards. Once you submit to that call, depending on when, you could be 10, you could be 90. Doesn't matter. You weren't ready. But you can look at sometimes your life before you were submitted to the call, and you can think, well, that was wasted. I wasn't doing things for the kingdom. Here's the beauty of God. Here's the sovereignty of God. Here's the rehabilitation of our lives. Here's the reward. When you submit to that call, God retroactively goes back into your life and takes everything, and it takes everything and uses that for his kingdom. Did you hear that? Made some mistakes? Did some wrong things? We have a sovereign God that forgives, overcomes, and uses all of that stuff. And he rehabilitates it when you submit to the call. And even unbeknownst to you and unbeknownst to me, during those walking through the valley times, it's being used for the kingdom in ways we couldn't possibly imagine. It is our submission to the call, watch this, that takes every aspect of your life and makes it new. Every aspect of your life. Everything. Versus not submitting to the call, Jesus says, if you try and hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you let go of your life, you're going to get it back. How many times? Last week, how many times are you going to get it back? 100 times back. Because I'm going to, because of your submission and because of activation of the kingdom, I'm going to reach back into Tim's life before you submitted to that call. And I'm going to take those things with my powerful divine hand and I'm going to turn them. And retroactively, we'll use those for the kingdom. Teresa turned me on to this again. He said, we have a God who can reach into our past and heal. Get a hold of that. Got some things in your past that need healed? I do. And we have a sovereign landowner who can reach into my past at the time that I submit, I have a part in this, and can heal those things. Unimaginable things that have no solution. Genuine humanity. And I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait for that day when I see the flotsam and jetsam of my life, the incongruities and my failures and the people that I've hurt and the mistakes that I've made. And I'm going to be able to see all of that made new. Reward, 100 times back. Because we submit to the call. Let's pray. Lord and Master, you thank you so much. You know the struggle that I had, and your strength was made perfect in my weakness. Amen.